Hot FM's Cliffo and Loggy
podcast.
From sensory removed to sensory overload, dropped in a situation to sink or swim, Cliffo and Loggy's Blackout Challenge.
I'd have to say, in a weird way, this was probably one of the scariest ones, because I was honestly in a situation where I had no idea what was happening, and you took me up in a lift, you put a uniform on me,
Yeah. You
changed my shoes. In my mind, I was had flippers on my feet and I was at a pool, or I was going up to bungee jump or do something, because I specifically remember yelling out to you, I'm not bungee jumping.
Yeah. This is the first one too where you had a real crowd.
Yeah.
Like a crowd in front of you when the blindfold came off, their headphones came off. We were, in fact, not scuba diving or anything like that.
Yeah.
Although we could. We were right there on the Ross Creek. We're at the Museum of Tropical Queensland. And us dressing you and stuff, we were putting a curator's outfit on you. They wear like an apron kind of thing.
And
like
a little necktie,
beret thing. But still, I could tell when the blindfold came off that you didn't really know why we were there.
Yeah.
So it was over to me to deliver this introduction.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Museum of Tropical Queensland with your historical talk on the 6-pound cannon. Please make welcome Miss Tomuscus.
Well, thank you so much for coming. Now, traditionally, you would think that you'd fire a cannon by jumping on top of it and doing this action, but you don't. Terry, would you like to demonstrate how one not rides a cannon, but fires a cannon?
You're going to be at the front on that side.
Uh-huh, yes.
You're the rammer.
I'm the rammer. In nautical terms, a rammer is someone that jabs a large-sized bullet, also known as a...
round shot.
As a round shot. So what we're going to do is just... we'll tap it once. No. Yep, she's good. She's good to go. The other end
goes out
here, and it goes in as such.
But first off,
you got to buy it a drink. What?
First off, you need something to make it go bang.
Oh, you need the old bangaroo, as we call it.
Gunpowder, that'll go in.
See, I like to do these shows as if I'm learning too, just so that you out there feel comfortable about learning about gun barrel safety and whatnot. So,
Scott will be on, jump on behind.
Hey,
you
Scotty. Make yourself useful. Can you call me Admiral?
Admiral.
Admiral. Cool.
Hold that.
Oh, I'm in charge.
Nice and loose.
Can I yell out something? What do you want me to yell out when I fire it? Chips
late.
Ahoy.
Fire in the hole.
Can I yell that out? All right, here we go.
We're looking for a red flash on the wall up there, by the way, folks.
Okay. Fire in the hole! I like to leave you with a bit of suspense. What a crew.
With your talk today on the 6-pound cannon, please put your hands together for Miss Tomuscus.
And my team of merry men, also well-dressed individuals.
Saddest thing of all, that talk on the historic 6-pound cannon, one of the final ones. It's gone into hibernation for a while. The cannon.
Did I break it?
No.
Oh, God.
They're putting a dinosaur exhibit in. So the thing has been there for, like 10, 20 years, something ridiculous. That was one of the final talks.
Really?
On the cannon while it goes into hibernation to make room for the dinosaurs. So,
and the whole time during that, I was thinking, what am I talking about?
The Sher film clip is in the back of your mind. Should I be riding this thing?
Oh, golly gosh, Cliffo.
See the video now. Hot FM Townsville is the Facebook page.
This is Cliffo and Loggy's podcast.
I reckon there's no feeling quite like that of a waiter or a waitress bringing you a nice, big, thick, fat, juicy steak.
Oh, yeah.
When you were starving hungry. Maybe a couple of chips, bit of salad on the side.
What's your sauce of choice?
I'm a Diane boy.
Are you?
Through and through. What about you?
I love a mushroom. Love a mushroom sauce.
Good choice. Mm. I mean, the mushroom, that's a pretty much a Diane with added mushrooms, I think. But you know what? Hey, if you're a pepper sauce kind of guy or girl.
That's cool.
Good for you too.
Yeah.
Bit of garlic sauce.
Mm.
We're not going to judge. As long as you're sitting down to a great steak, you know the feeling of that steak being delivered to you. It's absolutely fantastic. And my brother's girlfriend experienced this the other day. They're actually holidaying on the Gold Coast.
Nice.
And she's quite little, my brother's girlfriend. And the big old steak's been delivered. And she's like, there's no way I'm going to finish this. So my brother Dewey says she's hoed into about half of it. She smashed about half of the steak. He's finished his completely. She said, do you want the rest of mine? Nah, I'm full, he says.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm not going to throw away this steak. They've paid $35-$40 for a decent big steak. Anyway, she's like, I reckon I could have some of this in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah, why not?
So long story short, puts her hand up. Waiter comes over. She says, do you mind if I get a doggy bag? He says, sorry, ma'am, we don't do that. We don't do doggy bags.
Oh.
You have to leave your steak behind on the plate.
Really?
My brother's just going, bugger that. He's a country boy. I'm a country boy through and through.
Yeah.
He's just got real proactive, grabbed a couple of napkins, wrapped it up.
Oh, cool.
Put it in her handbag and off she trots.
Put it in the handbag.
You'd want to make sure it doesn't leak.
I was going to say, take some, Glad wrap with
bit
you.
Bit of Gladdy.
Yeah.
Bit of Glad bag. Bit of Tupperware. Just got me thinking though, 13, 12, 16, what's the rules when it comes to doggy bags? Like the places have to give them to you because it is your steak. So if you want to take it away, that's your prerogative.
I guess if it's sort of like, you know, if you get a small meal like, you know, chips or something like that, you're normally happy to just, if you don't finish it, you leave it. But when you're paying, like you mentioned, $30 to $40 for a steak, that's a good point, Clivo, because you can save a bit of lunch money the next day.
It's just wasteful if you don't. Like, I would hate the thought of half a $35 steak going in the bin. But 13, 12, 16, what's the etiquette, Townsville? Like, what's the rules? Do they have to give you a doggy bag or not? It's Hot FM.
Hot FM's
Cliffo and Loggy.
We got Sam here. Do they have to give you a doggy bag, Sam, if you ask?
I'm pretty sure you need a license for takeaway food.
Oh, so that's the issue. Okay.
I think you actually need a license to be able to give takeaway food in case someone gets sick later on. They need to have the insurance to cover,
Is that why some places go, hey, I won't do it, but take a Chinese food container? Like, I've heard of places that won't do it for you, but you can do it yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. And that's why I think some people offer it straight off the bat, and then some people, like restaurants, don't, because they don't have the insurance to cover if you get food poisoning.
Which I guess we live in an environment where people might sue for something like that. Whereas me, I'd be like, I've poisoned myself again.
Yeah, I've eaten off stage. I've got my just desserts. Hey, who's this?
Hi, it's Luana.
Hi, Luana. Now, are you a doggy bag fan? Have you tried and not succeeded in getting one?
Well, I've always grown up with taking doggy bags home. But a few years ago when I was pregnant, they said it was against health and regulations to now take doggy bags home because of the bacteria that can grow and then the process of reheating it the next day. And then I did a bit more of a digging, and down south a couple actually took a restaurant to court for leftover food and being sick. So I can understand now, like, as to why, due to health and regulations, but still sucks.
It does suck, doesn't it?
And that call very much along the lines of our first call, I guess. We'll take one more. Who's this?
Carlos,
doggy bags, what's your thoughts?
Well, actually, have you heard of a thing called HACCP? It's called a Hazard Analytical Critical Control Point.
Never have I heard of that, in fact.
So it's a food safety guideline. So it was actually developed by NASA. So the idea is, or the concept is, to stop astronauts getting sick because it takes them 6 months to get back into Loke, I guess.
My brother wasn't taking the steak to space. He just wanted to take it back to the hotel.
This is Cliff on Loggy's podcast.
Now, swimwear company Budgie Smuggler, we know them. We love them, Cliffo. Are you a budgie smuggler?
I'm more of a board short guy, but I do recognise their importance and their significance in the history of this country.
Well, I think you need to get involved with the budgie smugglers because they launched a big competition. They were searching for Australia's most ordinary rig, a guy with the best dad bod who would wear his budgie smugglers proudly and display his ordinary rig. Now, the search went Australia-wide, but the big winner, his name is Dan Dingo Layden. He's from Mount Isa, Queensland, and we've got him on the phone. Good morning, Dan.
Dan, you bloody legend.
Hey, guys.
Congratulations. Australia's most ordinary rig, the winner. How's it feeling?
Oh, I'm very humbled to be representing the ordinary bloke of Australia.
What do you think it was that made them say, yep, this guy's the winner?
Probably when I had the whole Ivy singing along to My Heart Will Go On with Celine Dion.
Okay.
I played the recorder to Celine Dion, and when I looked up and saw the whole crowd just going off, I thought maybe I'll have this here. So.
Wow. The recorder to Celine Dion. I didn't think it was possible to make that song more annoying, but you've done it.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So how did you get such an ordinary rig? Run us through that again, because you owe a big debt of gratitude to some local businesses there in the Isa.
Yeah, of course. Grand's Cakes and Pies, that's where I'm at every morning. Do the old donut and pie, wash it down with an ice break. It's just I'm just addicted to food. There's nothing I can do about it, and that's just what happened. And then got married, had a kid, and just rocking the ordinary dad bod.
There you go. Now, we hear that a massive billboard is going to be erected in Mount Isa to honour this amazing achievement. What are they going to get you to do on the billboard? Do you have any idea of what pose you're going with, what you're going to wear? I'm assuming it's the Budgie Smugglers.
It'll be in the Budgie Smugglers, the boots and the Akubra, I'm guessing. Oh, and, yes. And it'll just read, welcome to Mount Isa, the home of Australia's most ordinary rig.
Oh.
Now, you're up there with royalty. Deborah Mailman, Pat Rafter, the girls from My Kitchen Rules.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the Isa locals that have made it big on the national stage to have a billboard. So well done.
Very honoured. Very honoured.
And well done. Actually, while we're giving you your congratulations, nuding up, well, kind of, getting down to your budgies on the Today Show within about 2 feet of Karl Stefanovic yesterday. Well done.
Thank you. I was absolutely terrified. I've never been so terrified in my life.
And you stripped your pants off, so you weren't that terrified.
Oh, well, I need an icebreaker. I thought if I can't, I need some laughs straight up. And if I couldn't get them, I wasn't going to be able to speak.
Yeah.
It was just such a blur when it all happened. I was just like, oh, my God, did that just happen?
Well, you did really well. So congrats, dude. And thanks heaps for talking to us today.
No worries.
Good on
you. Have a good day.
You
thanks,
ordinary
guys.
Rig. Smash those ice breaks. Smash those cakes. Smash those pies. Love you, Dan.
Thanks, guys.